Hello, we're back on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker. I'm sitting in for Mary Charlotte. My next guest is someone I have admired from afar for quite some time. His name is Larry Torres. He lives up in Taos, and Larry is the author of a wonderful column that many of you may know that appears in the New Mexican. It's called Growing Up Spanglish. Good morning, Larry.
Buenos dias. How are you doing,
Hollis? Buenos dias. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Larry's column is written. They're little fictional tales about grandma y grandpa Cuca.
Grandma Cuca and grandpa Caralampio, yes. You try to say that six times, huh?
Yeah, and I'm going to move your mic just a little bit closer.
Not a problem.
There we go. And then their little grandson, Canutito.
Canutito is right.
Tell me, Larry, tell us how... Well, first of all, you're a teacher. You teach languages,
yes,
right?
Ma'am. I've been doing so for 38 years.
Wow, 38 years.
Uh-huh. In my last assignment, I've been working with UNM Taos branch for the last 14 years.
And you teach not just Spanish, but...
I teach French on Mondays, Latin on Tuesdays, Russian on Wednesdays, linguistics on Thursdays, and Chicano studies whenever I can fit it in.
But I think you told me you're actually certified to teach something like 9 languages, right?
Actually, it's 14 languages by the state of New Mexico.
14 languages.
Uh-huh.
What language do you dream in?
It depends on the time of day.
If you take a little nap on French day, it might be French?
It might be French, exactly. Usually French is what I do in the evenings when I need to relax. Every language has its own personality.
Uh-huh.
And switching to language changes your personality.
Oh.
This is what I learned when I was writing this column, the Growing Up Spanglish column, that every time you switch a language, oh, you change the nature of what was happening.
Right. So you become, what do you become, more suave when you're...
Oh, I'd love
when you're French?
You should be my publicist here, Hollis. Suave. Oh, I've never been described as suave. You become different. You see the world from a different perspective. Every time you change a language, you change your personality. Uh-huh. And if you're doing two languages at the same time, you're straddling two different worlds.
So tell me how, this column, Growing Up Spanglish, how did this come about?
Actually, I've been writing for the Taos News for many, many years, and then the same editor of the Taos News also owns the Taos Santa Fe New Mexican, and she said, you know, your column is such a big hit here in Taos, I'd love for more people to get exposure to this. She brought it to Santa Fe, and suddenly it just took off like gangbusters. Everybody loved it, and she couldn't figure out, Robin couldn't figure out why it was taking off so well. And I said, probably because people recognize themselves in their conversations. I say, I have to make up very few things when I make up my column. Really, all I have to do is sit at a coffee shop or go to one of those big box stores and eavesdrop on people's conversations.
Oh, that's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from, exactly. I have to make up very little. Mm. What I'm doing is I'm analyzing speech patterns of people. And right now, Hollis, we're in a time of transition, as far as New Mexico is concerned, that is, linguistically speaking. We're talking to people who grew up in a certain culture, in an old Spanish culture, but they have to live now into the present culture, which is an Anglo culture, and sometimes they have to combine both to make that which is neither nor, but you have to know the rules for both just to understand that which is neither nor.
Right. I want, for those who might not be familiar with your column, I've taken a couple of them and I've circled a little section here. So I'm going to ask you to read just the section of this recent column that I circled here.
This one is dated Monday, the 22nd of July. Okay, let's do this one. It says, un día Canutito was out jugando cerca de la acequia. He splashed water all over the place y después de que había finished salpicando el agua, he decided to climb a tree. There was una jara grande growing by the side of the acequia with its branches hanging low as with all willow trees. He climbed bien alto yendo de branch to branch y no se dio cuenta que there was a wasp's nest arriba de la jara. Oh, too late. Canutito tried to climb back, pero las avispas had spotted him y le rompieron. They swarmed all over him y le picaron, leaving him all stung. Ay, 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 Canutito called out as he stumbled and fell de un branch al otro. Grandma Cuca heard the little boy screaming and she ran out y lo recogió and she brought him para dentro de la casa, away de las avispas, and mixed some soquete con sal and applied that very mud and salt mixture to las picaduras del niño. Le dio aspirinas de St. Joseph and laid him down to sleep.
Thank you, Larry. I was rereading this morning, you know, and I'm just amazed at how much I understand of the Spanish. And, of course, you make it very easy. But when I got to Le dio aspirinas de St. Joseph, I went, oh, St. Joseph's aspirin.
You got it. Exactly.
I could see the little bottle in my mind's eye with the orange and white on the label. Uh-huh. How did you know? How, you know, when you read this aloud, it was a little harder for me to follow, but when I read it in the written form, even if I don't know the words in Spanish, I can understand them because you explain them in context.
Yes.
Or you repeat them in English, like the where you were talking about the tree in that one. I don't remember. What is the willow in Spanish?
Jaras.
Jaras. And then a few moments later, you say willow. So
exactly.
That, how did you know how to do this? How to write in a way that combined the languages?
Actually, that's pretty contrived. When I first started doing this column, Hollis, I did it just to have fun with it. But suddenly, I started getting communiques from different places, universities all around the world. For example, Georgia Tech University said, actually, we want to thank you for your column because we're using it to teach English to our vast Mexican national population. Then I got another one from Dublin, Ireland, and they said, we're using your column to teach Spanish to our English speakers over here. And then I thought, okay, let's see how we can improve this. If people are actually using this as a teaching tool, then what we're going to do is I'm going to come up and augment the language in such a way that if you don't get it in this, you'll get it in the next one. So as just exactly as you pointed out, whatever words that I use that might be kind of obscure in the first line would be clarified in the second line, if not in meaning, in context.
Now, do you use these columns in your classes that you teach?
I don't, because that would be too much self-serving, but other people do. Yeah, I am very modest, can't you tell? Hollis, please.
And so who is the model for Canutito, the little boy?
This particular chapter, that was me. That actually happened to me.
Oh.
I climbed a pear tree, there was a wasp's nest, and I fell down.
Oh.
So my students never believe it when I say, you know, I'm the innocent little kid. They said, no, you're not. You're the crotchety old grandpa. And I said, yes, I am the crotchety old grandpa. And I'm also the overzealous, very religious grandmother figure.
Right.
And what's really interesting is, as I was narrating this, I was remembering that years ago, New Mexico State University decided to capture all of these on tape. And so they put them together on podcasts, which you can access just by dialing Larry Torres, NMSU.
Larry on NMSU. Internet, you can just type in Larry Torres, NMSU?
NMSU, and then all these podcasts, which are absolutely free of charge because they've already been collected and paid for by the university, can be accessed and recorded by anyone or listened to by anyone anywhere in the world.
Wow. So I can practice my Spanish with Larry Torres.
I hadn't meant at the beginning, Hollis, I'm sorry, I hadn't meant at the beginning for them to be teaching tools. I was just having fun, as I said.
Right.
But now they've taken off a life of their own.
Right. How many of these have you written?
Over 400. I'm working 439, I think, is the latest one that I'm working on.
Oh, my gosh. And have you collected them in a book?
Not in a book. They're all in a closet somewhere, but hopefully I will put them in book form. And people do ask me, can we have these in book form?
Yeah.
And the answer is, hopefully one day some publishing company would like to say, hey, you know, and the reason I say this is because we are in a time of transition, and this is the language which is pertinent to this corner. It is what is correct for this place and time. You know, for many, many years, people from northern New Mexico have been criticized and told, your Spanish is not correct. Your English is not correct.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, oh, yes, it is. This is exactly what is correct for this time and place right now. And this is why, linguistically speaking, it's important for me to collect these stories. Not only the anecdotes, which are very interesting, but when you code switch, when you change from one language to the next.
Uh-huh.
And I may have mentioned to you a long time ago that I got a phone call from the University of Modena in Italy. And they said, Mr. Torres, the professor said, we are doing a doctoral dissertation on your growing up Spanglish column. I said, you're kidding. And I said, why? And they said, because here in the European Union, whenever we speak Spanish, the English get mad. When we speak English, the French get mad. When we speak French, the Germans get mad. So we looked online to see if there was anybody out there who was actually publishing in hybrid language.
Uh-huh.
This is how they defined it, a hybrid language, mm-hmm. a language which is neither nor, but it has elements of both. And they said, and once we found this out, we found out that you're the only one in the world who's actually publishing hybrid language. And I said, wow. And they said, and I said, why is that interesting for you? They said, because we see it as a means of healing the European Union.
Oh.
And I started saying, ooh, those things that we take so much for and even make fun of,
mm-hmm.
take so much for granted or make fun of here in northern Mexico, other people are actually taking very seriously.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, ooh, I smell Nobel Prize. It's not going to happen. But I can dream like everybody else. Huh?
Sure, sure. Well, you know, it's so interesting. I wonder how... what you've noticed about the Spanish, has Spanish here changed or Spanglish changed with the influx of Mexican immigrants to the area?
Absolutely, it has changed, and it's reflected in the columns that I write together. Because I do use standard Spanish, as might be found in Mexico, for example, or Argentina or Spain, but I also make a concerted effort, Hollis, to incorporate words that are fast disappearing from the Spanish lexicon.
Such as?
16th century words such as the expression arredovallas. Good heavens, who's ever heard arredovallas? That's exactly what it means. Good heavens, arredovallas. But literally it means get behind me. Such as in get behind me, Satan,
uh-huh.
which is what Jesus says to Peter, do you see?
Right.
Little things like this. That's an example of 16th century Spanish that has survived into 21st century English and... it is still being used by the generation which is mine and the one that came before mine.
Interesting. Mm. So some of the language, you know, I remember years ago when I lived in Las Vegas briefly, worked at Highlands, I took Spanish classes with Sarah Harris.
Yes.
And I remember her telling us about differences with particular words. You know, this word in Spain, to say something, you would say this. In Mexico, you would use this word. And here in northern New Mexico, you would use another word. Mm-hmm. So some of those, are the Spanish speakers here adopting some of the Mexican Spanish words?
They are adopting some of the Mexican Spanish words, but not the modern Mexican Spanish words. The old Mexican, what I mean by old is Aztecisms.
Oh.
Do you speak Aztec at all, Hollis?
No.
I bet you do.
You think?
If I say words like xocuatl, that's Aztec for chocolate, uh-huh. chocolate, chocolate, xocuatl. And then we analyze and say xoco, well, that means bitter. Atl means water, bitter water. Then it makes perfect sense. You, all the atl words like tomatl, have you ever had a tomatl?
Mm-hmm.
Tomato. Potatl, potato. Have you ever heard a coyotl, a coyote, tecolotl? Do you see things uh-huh. like this? An owl. So I try to explain all these things in context without so much giving a grammar lesson, because I could have just made it very academic and give it, but it would have been boring.
Right.
And so I tell a story of ordinary anecdotes of things that happens to a little boy growing up in northern New Mexico trying to understand a world which sometimes he does and does sometimes he doesn't understand.
Right. There's so many things that go on in these columns because, you know, it's only, I mean, you are telling a story and you're telling it in two languages and those combined languages.
Uh-huh.
But also you're telling stories about humanity and relationships and as you pointed out, the young generation trying to figure out grandpa y grandma who are so different, you know, and what are they doing? And so speaking of which, I got to ask you to read part of this column, which references something that everybody remembers. So this is, I need to say, for those who've just joined us, I'm talking with Larry Torres. He's the author of a fabulous column that appears in the New Mexican called Growing Up Spanglish. He is a languages teacher in Taos, and he came all the way down here to join me today, and I'm really thankful. And so I'm going to ask him to read a little bit of this column.
Oh, I appreciate it. No, this is the one from this week.
Yes.
This is about Canutito and Kevinito, take a vacation. And this is actually based on a colleague of mine whose name is Kevin, who's now getting his doctor's degree over at Michigan University. And he says, you never mentioned me in my columns. I said, well, then we'll put you in there somewhere. Okay, here goes. It was late in summer, cuando la familia decidió salir on vacation. Grandma Cuca put her house dress on y se puso los calzones that she referred to as los pedal pusher pants. No, Grandma, Canutito told her, ahora los pedal pusher pants se llaman capris.
Well, it doesn't matter,
Grandma Cuca retorted.
So long as man looks slim, estoy contenta.
Can I bring mi amigo Kevin Casales con nosotros so that I can have someone que puede jugar along the way? Carutito asked.
Sure, mijo, Grandpa Caralampio replied. I think que el Kevinito es un good influence on you. You can both play slug bug en el camino.
Oh, Grandpa, Canutito hesitated. ¿Qué es slug bug?
Oh, es un game que mis hermanitos y yo used to play cuando íbamos on the road. Every time que uno de nosotros would see a un Volkswagen car, he would punch the rest of us en el brazo and yell, slug bug! By the time que we got para la destinación, estábamos todos black and blue.
Thanks, Larry. That was so much fun.
What I like to do in the reading is I try to imitate the accents also of Northern New Mexico.
Right.
And
and they are so different.
Very, very different.
They are so different. And the interaction of the cultures and the differences here is so interesting, especially with more Mexican immigrants here. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, for example, I think of situations, for example, on a contracting job, building a house,
yes,
where you might have Northern New Mexico, Hispanos, Anglos, and Mexican immigrants,
yes,
all working on the same job, mm-hmm, and trying to communicate with one another in their very different languages and even their different accents in Spanish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you started to say it depends on which part, because not every single village in Northern New Mexico speaks exactly the same way. For example, if I were to be writing for the people of Pecos, New Mexico, for example, just on the other side of Santa Fe, I would be using more words like en papá for father, en mamá for mother, en primo. And people say, why did you add the en prefix? And I say, because they're descendants of the crypto Jews of New Mexico. That is a whole Jewish culture which was trying to run away from the Spanish Inquisition, and they hid away in Pecos, New Mexico. And these words that have now begun to spread out across New Mexico really originated in Pecos.
But, and why was the M added? It was just...
It's what is called Ladino Spanish. It's a combination.
Oh.
It's a combination of Hebrew Spanish.
Yes, I knew about Ladino Spanish and about the crypto Jews.
Right.
And in fact, talked with a playwright of a play about the crypto Jews just recently on this program.
Fun. Yes.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that Ladino still had an impact on Spanish here.
Oh, very much so. It's amazing. For years and years, Hollis, people thought that the Spanish people of this area couldn't spell, that they were spelling by ear. And now we realize that, no, they weren't. They were just using a different form of Spanish called Ladino, which is, as I said, part Jewish, part Hebrew, and part Spanish.
Right. So, yeah, the dialectical differences between various towns. And, you know, I also have to laugh. You say... that people sometimes think that Hispano speakers in New Mexico are spelling things wrong or whatever. As an Anglo coming here, I have taken Spanish off and on my entire life, and I've never gotten any better at it because I'm not consistent, you know,
sure,
and I don't get enough practice like so many people. But there were so many sayings that I learned from Spanish speakers here that I didn't really know what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that when you were in a car and you were going too slow, somebody might say, dale gas. Now,
yes,
my head, that was dollygas, but it was...
Yes, that means step on it. Yeah.
Darle gas. Right.
Yeah. Well, again, it's not just something that's new to cars. It was from the days of the horse. For example, if you had to catch a horse and you wanted to lasso it, you would twirl the rope around your head. That's called a dally walter. Dally walter, that's dale vuelta.
Dale
which
vuelta.
Give it a turn.
Give it a turn. Yeah.
Dale vuelta becomes dally walter.
Dally walter. How
yeah.
Funny.
Even names like buckaroo came from vaquero. Vaquero, buckaroo.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Let's mosey on over to the corral. Vamos al corral. Let's mosey. Do you see?
Wow.
Get along, little doggy. Doggy? No, that comes from this old Mexican word, dogal. So, dogal, which means a halter.
Oh, D-O-G-A-L?
Yes,
dogal.
Dogal. And lariat, lariata, which means the lariat. Now, the rope that you turn around you. So it's amazing how much Mexican cowboy Spanish has influenced what we are over here also.
So what's the difference between lasso? Lasso?
Yeah.
And lariat?
Lariat is when you make the lasso, but you pull it tight.
Ah, okay.
So it's the completion of the lasso.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So so you're continuing to write this column.
Yes, I am continuing to write. And I hadn't thought of continuing it, actually, Hollis, because usually I write 100 columns and then stop and move on to something else. Uh-huh. For example, once when I wrote a column called Cruising the Camino Real, I stopped at the 100th column, and that became a book. When I did In the Footsteps of the Hermit, about a holy mystic that used to live in New Mexico, once I stopped at the 100th column, that became a book. But Grandpa and Grandpa Cuca don't want to die, and Canutito doesn't want to die. They're already in their 500s, and people are still saying, give us more, give us more.
Well, were you raised by your grandparents?
I wasn't raised by my grandparents, but I want, and that's a common question when people ask me how I put this column together. I say I wanted to think of some reason for the little boy not to understand. Parents would have spoken to the kid in English and tried to get him up there. But yes, I was raised not by my grandparents, but in the presence of a great matriarchal and patriarchal society where the old people were actually venerated. Uh-huh. And so I remember my grandparents on both sides of my family, the Torres side and the Marquez side, very much with great reverence, and they became the prototypes, the archetypes, if you will, for these particular people.
Uh-huh. Hmm. So where did you grow up, Larry?
I grew up in Arroyo Seco, New Mexico, which is caught up, a little village between Taos and Taoski Valley.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right up there.
And where did you go from there? Where did you go
from there I started out at New Mexico State University.
Uh-huh.
And then halfway through that, I was majoring in languages because I already spoke like 7 languages before I even left Arroyo Seco, thanks to a good Jesuit education.
Uh-huh.
See, I could speak Greek and Hebrew and Latin before I could even speak Spanish. Uh-huh. I spoke and still speak nothing but Spanish at home. Then in 19...
You said you speak nothing but Spanish at home?
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. And then in 1964, the school system was consolidated, and because we were federally funded, now we had to learn English, so we were bused into town. So I started to learn to speak English on a full-time basis, maybe in the sixth grade. And then from there, I went off to the University of Leningrad in the Soviet Union, and I spent 7 years in the Brezhnev and Andropov years in the Soviet Union. So I got certified to teach Russian and Greek. What other languages that I studied in the Soviet Union?
Bulgarian?
And Polish. Yeah, all of the Slavic languages,
right.
Basically. Uh-huh. And I lived and traveled across all 15 Russias at that time.
Yeah.
And then later I came back home and continued getting... I've had so many degrees from so many universities right now that I can't keep track of them. But that's how I started out with...
You're just a sucker for learning, I guess.
I guess that's what I am. Yeah. Maybe that's the reason I still keep teaching, so I can continue to learn.
And so when did you come back to Taos?
I came back to Taos in the late 1988, I think, was the time I came back to Taos. And at that time, and again, talk about serendipity, my students nominated me for the National Teacher Award,
uh-huh.
And I won it.
Uh-huh, that's
good heavens,
what I heard.
Suddenly, I was on the Disney Channel teaching other teachers. For years, I taught, and I was a spokesperson for Walt Disney, and that was kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly, all these people who thought I was crazy because I said I could speak languages, suddenly thought, well, we see him in Channel
on
TV, maybe he can do what he
says maybe
he can
really
do.
You know, isn't that funny? All you have to do is be on TV and suddenly you get the mantle of authority.
That's right. Before that time, I was just a crazy person.
You were just a local crazy person.
You got it.
Right? How would you say that in Spanish?
Un extraño.
Now, I heard, I was talking to a man who, I guess he is now maybe 38 or 39, and he took, I'm not sure which language from you, at Taos High School. Didn't
really?
You used to teach at Taos
for
High School?
For many years, I did.
His name is Dylan Parks.
Oh, my gosh, he was my assistant.
He was?
You knew Dylan Parks. You know
I
Dylan Parks?
I do know Dylan Parks.
He,
uh-huh.
Well, he used to be my student aide, yes.
He works for Twitter in New York.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, bless his heart.
But he said to ask you about a cape. Something about a cape. Tell us about the cape real quickly.
Oh, how Dylan, I'm going to get even with you. Okay.
I'm running out of time. What did you have the cape for, Larry?
Again, since I was raised by priests, uh-huh. Generally, when I was really little, I inherited a lot of their wardrobe. And so I have the cape that actually belonged to James Peter Davis, who was at one time Archbishop of Santa Fe.
Wow.
And for years and years, I would wear it full time because, number one, it was warm, and number two, because it was just a lot of fun to wear. And I would walk through the streets of Taos wearing this long black cape at a time when nobody else did, especially late at night, and people would stay away from me.
Okay.
And suddenly a legend was born that there's a vampire that's haunting the streets of Arroz Seco and Taos.
Larry Torres, Growing Up Spanglish, the most fabulous column. You can read it in the Santa Fe New Mexican on Mondays, Growing Up Spanglish.
Absolutely.
By Larry Torres.
Gracias.
Thank you, Larry, for coming all the way down to
Holly,
Taos.
This was my pleasure.
Us.
Thank you. This was a really
wonderful time. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker. I've been sitting in for Mary Charlotte.